Hi, friends. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here. And as Mike and Rebecca have said, love to get to know you. We're in the first Sunday of July. Summer's here. Lends itself wonderfully to opportunities to connect and be together. All our information, my information, is on our website. Love to hear from you. Love to connect at some point in the weeks ahead. Well, today, we are beginning our summer series called For Example. And what we're doing is we're looking at various roles in which we live and express ourselves with, and we're looking to Jesus to help inform us to live out those roles well. Just a moment, we're going to hear from Christy Voth. We're going to hear a little bit of her story. But before we do, let me just share a few more words of introduction about this text and this conversation here today. We're considering Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, where Paul speaks about the role of child or our childlikeness. And he says it this way in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. He says, "Follow God's example as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." A lot of advice in the book of Ephesians. Simply stated, when it comes to our relationship with God, we must determine to become more and more dependent as we age and mature, keeping our relationship full of trust and completely surrendering during every changing season of our lives. Now, verses 1 and 2, in order for us to find long-term contentment and fulfillment growing up towards our childlikeness, we will always need to keep two questions that Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 asks of us, and even answers. And the first question is, who am I? And the second question is, for a child, is, whose am I, or where do I belong? Before we take a look at those two questions, let's hear from Christy as she shares a few things that she has discovered about her childlikeness. Our summer series is called Roles, and we are taking an honest look at seven different roles that Christians may find themselves in, and most importantly, considering how Jesus informs us as we walk out in these various roles. And today, we're talking about childhood. We're talking about being a child of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "As dearly loved children." And to help us discuss this and experience this, we've asked Christy Voth to come. Christy's been a part of Living Waters Church for a long time and involved in so many different ways and is such a beautiful part of our community. And thought that perhaps Christy would have some things to say as we think about being childlike and exploring our childhood. So Christy, thanks for being here today. And help us appreciate, and let's get right to it. So just help us appreciate what it means for you to specifically be a child of God.
Ooh. Well, just that. I think the invitation of Jesus is for us to come as children, right? He said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these," and to come as a child. And that's actually a newer expression in my life and in my faith, this invitation to come literally in my imagination as a child before God. And it was actually here at the church that I experienced this, a moment of just imagining myself during the worship time, coming before God as a child, as a young girl, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And I came with a tattered dress, bare feet, and matted hair, and I was standing in the throne room, and God was on his throne, and I just felt this burning in my heart that I wanted to offer him something, but I came broken and dirty and as a child. And in this moment, I did the only thing that I knew to do, and the only thing that I had to offer was to dance before him. Mm. And so in my imagination, during our worship service, I pictured myself dancing before the king as a small girl. And I felt his radiance and his delight in my offering. And with that, he also invited me to come and sit on his lap. Mm-hmm. And as I sat on his lap, he wiped my feet and he combed my hair and he just poured his delight on me. Mm-hmm. And this is an experience. I'm an adult and yet I'm coming to him as a child. And I just felt his invitation. And through a series of just invitations from him to come as a child, I have discovered so much more of his character and his heart and this place of his welcome in a way that I don't think I could fully appreciate just in coming to him as an adult. And so I love his invitation for us to come as children.
Oh my goodness, what a beautiful, that's a beautiful story. Oh my goodness, wow. That's beautiful. So where you're at this time in your life, how do you walk out your childlikeness in the context of your singlehood as a single person? I mean, that's a very unique, a unique way in which you're discovering God.
Yes.
And help us appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's definitely a tension there.
Oh, sure.
This place of knowing that he is a good father and he loves to give good gifts to his children. And I have this longing that is very real to be married and to have a family of my own. And that has been a long journey for me. And as I get older, there's moments where I wonder, okay, is he going to come through for me? There's been disappointment. There's been some profound loss. There's been some confusion at times where I don't understand, God, what are you doing? And to me, the story of the pearl or the process of the pearl has been a huge gift to me. Mm. And so the process of a pearl being made is when a piece of sand enters into a clamshell or a seashell of sorts. And the clam will excrete this fluid to cover this grit, this irritant, so that it's not so painful for it. And this fluid, eventually these layers wrap around this piece of grit until it becomes this shiny pearl.
Oh, wow.
And singleness to me has been this irritant.
Oh, wow.
If I can be honest.
Yeah.
But it's this place of wrestle where I've wrestled with God as my father and waiting for him to give this good gift, recognizing that marriage is a gift. But it's been this place where I've discovered that I want the giver actually more than the gift and discovering more of his character and his heart towards me. And actually, as this irritant is part of my life, it's refined me and it's polished me. And I hope that through it that I reflect more of his image and that I can, just be all that he's called me to be, right? To be his pearl. Mm. Yeah. So.
Well, God's doing that work, and we're all benefiting from that refinement, or however you're narrating that. And I mean, from the outside, right? Someone like yourself who is in ministry, someone who yourself was actively involved in the church, so responsible. From the outside, it looks like it's pretty easy, to be honest, right? Because of all the responsible ways that you're being fruitful. But I'm sure that's not the case. I'm sure that there's some days that it's just plain hard to be a child, to be in the context of single. What is it? When is it hard? Or what is hard?
I think two ways that I can think of at the outset. The first one would be just as I look at my future and I wonder, okay, well, who's going to take care of me? Will I be okay? My family lives far away. And right, there's just the realities of life and the challenge of that. And so I think when I am not trusting him, when I forget his fatherly care, I can easily get into a place where I struggle and I wrestle and I think I need this thing to be complete. And that's the second thing, is that the world sends these messages that I would need a man to be complete, to be whole, or that my sexuality is the most important thing about me, just that I need to do something about it. I need to make it happen. I need to, instead of being focused on ministry and loving people, I need to be on Bumble or Tinder or one of those things. Jesus, his invitation is to surrender and to trust. Mm. And it's hard to do that, but it's so worth it. And for me, it's been so freeing.
Thanks for being honest. That's honest.
And, yeah.
And we do value authenticity, and you're leading the way continually in so many different things that you do in our community, in our church.
Thank you.
And it's just so good to be inspired by that authenticity and putting a name on it, mm-hmm. and getting it out there. And that's so responsible. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this role of being a child.
Yeah.
What does it mean for you to be faithful? Right. Mm-hmm. So you take this very seriously, your walk with the Lord as a child. How would you describe faithfulness as a child?
There is a place in our culture where it says, or the world, our culture says that we, as we grow older, we need to become more independent. And I love his fatherly invitation to become more dependent on him. Mm. That as we grow in faith and in trust, our faith actually becomes more simple. And we just trust him. And this place of surrender and trust that even if the bottom falls out, even if the worst happens, even if my dreams aren't fulfilled, that he is still good and that he will still provide for me, he will still care for me. And so it's this place of trust that I can rest because he's taking care of it. He's watching out for me. And I hope that I can continue in that posture, that I can move more fully into surrender in every season of my life, that that I trust him as my father, that I trust that whatever he has for me is good and that it's enough.
Thanks for being honest. Thanks for helping us appreciate what it means to be a child. Thanks for being here today.
Welcome.
Christy has shared very wisely, and as we've heard, very authentically, about how being a child of God answers a lot of questions about who we are and whose we are, yet at the same time, does leave a lot of room for vulnerability and trust. Our journey with vulnerability and trust as children will move along at the pace of which we answer these two most fundamental questions. Who am I and whose am I? So let's take an honest look. Who am I? I recently read that one of the top internet search phrases is the question, what does God think about me? I mean, that could be a natural question for anyone to ask who does not already know the Bible's teachings, but a lot of times that question is wrapped up in a huge insecurity, even among confessing and professing Christians. And perhaps this question rolls around in your mind frequently as well. What does God think about me? Well, what we do know is two things from Ephesians chapter 5. Number one, contrary to much popular thought, all people are not children of God positionally or relationally. The Bible is clear that we become children of God when we are born into the family through a spiritual new birth. And that is an event that takes place in someone's life. For me, that was when I was a preteen. So thankful for that day and to be baptized according to my profession of faith. The truth is, though, that once we are born again into a new relationship with God, we are then, according to Paul's words, we are then by definition and by potential experience, dearly loved children. God loves you as his own. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made in the past or what's in your bank account, whether you've been a Christian for 3 hours, 3 weeks, or 30 years, the Bible says that you are a dearly loved person by our Heavenly Father. Because of what Christ has done and what Christ alone has done, we are called into a covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father, and nothing can separate us from that love of God, God's love. Nothing can separate us from that love. I read this reflection from a father speaking about his daughter. Let me read it. When I get home, referring to after work, I expect to take my baby on my knee, look into her sweet eyes, listen to her charming prattle, and tired as I am, her presence will rest me. For I love that child with an unalterable tenderness. But she loves me little. If my heart were breaking, it would not disturb her sleep. If my body were racked with pain, it would not interrupt her pain, her play. If I were dead, she would forget me in a few days. Besides this, she's never brought me a penny, but instead is a constant expense to me. I'm not rich, but there is enough money. There's not enough money in the world to buy my baby. So how is it? Does she love me or do I love her? Do I withhold my love until I know she loves me? Am I waiting for her to do something worthy of my love before extending it? No, absolutely not. No matter how much an earthly father loves his children, our Heavenly Father loves his own beloved children much more. As quoted in 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we are called children of God, and such we are. If you're a Christian, that's you. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do to earn it, deserve it, or even lose it. God loves you, and God will not someday fall out of love with you. You're a dearly loved child. Wow. I'm so excited to share that. Finding our identity in this relationship and role is of utmost importance for life on earth. Now, I just want to say, if you're today having a hard time believing of God's unconditional love for you, if that's a struggle for you, ask God to help you really know of his love. You may not have a dream like Christy did, but God will speak your language of love in a way that will help you. God wants you to grasp his love. And as you discover that, allow yourself to be fully and totally wrapped up in his arms of love. Our value is not in what we do, it's in who we are. And we discover his love as we come, just as we are. Just like Christy said, this attention and affection is meant to settle us and root us in a relationship with Christ. See, a long-term experience with this type of godly love, creating a rich identity, will most naturally lead us to become dependent upon him, because we are made by God's design to be dependent upon our Heavenly Father. It's by God's beautiful design. So to get there, though, we have to relearn a few things that we've been thinking about and conditioned by all of our lives. Just let me explain. As we grow up in our first families, we take one step of independence after another. Call them rites of passage. Call them milestones that our families celebrate for us and with us. For example, we learn to crawl. We learn to walk so that we can get out of our parents' arms. We learn to ride a bike so we don't have to be on the back of our parents' bike. We have our first sleepover with our friend at a friend's house to give us time and space away from our parents. We go off to school. We learn to swim so that we don't have to be held or caught by our parents who are at the side of the pool deck. We get our first job and get our first bits of money so that we can make independent decisions. We get our driver's license so we are not reliable upon our parents for rides or the bus. We pick our own courses at high school. We go off to camp for a few weeks. Perhaps move away to go to college. And the list goes on and on and on. These are all appropriate rites of passage, and I'm a parent, we actually parent to that end of independence. But when it comes to a relationship in parenting with our Heavenly Father, we have to relearn independence to learn dependence. And that's really hard to do. That's the course of discipleship. That's the journey of being a follower of Christ, relearning our independent ways to learn our dependent ways in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So our journey as children of God is all about the journey of learning dependence, just like Christy said. We're called to walk toward our Heavenly Father and become more and more dependent and interdependent with others that are doing the very same things that we are. Perhaps it's summarized this way: the role of child is what we grow out of in our walk with our first families. However, the role of the child is what we grow toward in our walk with our Heavenly Father. So, who are you? Who are you? Dearly loved child, growing in our dependence with our Heavenly Father. Secondly, second big question is, well then, whose am I? Or where do I belong if that's who I am? Friends, this is so simple, but so important. The question of belonging is a need that every parent superintends with their children. And it would be the same in our relationship with God. When we trust Him and depend upon Him, He will superintend and direct our need for belonging, because He knows we have the need to belong. We were made for belonging and interdependence. Brené Brown, in her book, Braving the Wilderness, shares some of John Cacioppo's ideas, and let me read some of them. When we feel isolated or disconnected and lonely, we tend to protect ourselves. We want to connect, but our brain is often attempting to override connection with self-protection. When this happens, we often become less empathetic, more defensive, and we practice more numbing and get less sleep. As members of social species, we don't derive strength from our rugged individualism, but rather from our collective ability to plan, communicate, and work together. Our neural, hormonal, and genetic makeup support interdependence over independence. So how do we find our way in belonging as a child of God? We don't necessarily have to go join a bunch of groups or check in with dozens of friends a few times a day. Brené Brown's book, True Belonging, is not something that you negotiate externally. It's what you carry in your heart internally. For true belonging is finding sacredness in being part of something or in relationship. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul would say that basic need is only ever met by the belonging that comes from being a child of God in association with the family of God. Therefore, it's because of our relationship as a child of God that we can find help as we turn to God to deal with our need for belonging. John Cacioppo continues. He's been studying loneliness for 20 years. He defines loneliness as perceived isolation, where we experience loneliness when we feel disconnected. At the heart of loneliness is the absence of meaningful social interaction, intimate friendship, family gatherings, or even community or work group connections. People's typical internal response to loneliness, according to this study, is shame. We feel shame around the feeling of being lonely, as if lonely means there's something wrong with us or we are the odd one out. The party's happening over here and we're not invited or even didn't know about it. We've all felt those thoughts from time to time. Much of the stigma around loneliness and belonging comes from how we define it and talk about it. Loneliness has inappropriately been equated with shyness, depression, being a loner or antisocial, or even possessing bad social skills. Cacioppo said would suggest that the feeling of loneliness is actually a sign of health, because it is the stirring of a need that is meant to provoke a response. So he goes on to illustrate. Hunger is a warning that our blood sugar is low and we need to eat. Thirst warns us that we need to drink to avoid dehydration. And he would suggest that the feeling of loneliness tells us that we need social connection and that this is something as crucial to our well-being as food and water. Someone denying that they feel lonely makes no more sense than denying that they feel hungry or thirsty. I think it's really appropriate that we talk about this, certainly as we continue to find our way out of the pandemic that we've been in. And I'm sure on multiple occasions during the pandemic, you had some similar experiences that I did that are associated to loneliness, longing for community, but cut off from those type of intimate relationships for all different kinds of reasons. It's important to note that loneliness and being alone are very different things. Being alone or inhabiting solitude can be powerful and very healing, but the unmet need associated with loneliness over long periods of time is quite harmful. There's all kinds of studies to prove that. But as we grow more dependent as children of God, we can find our contentment and our belonging because we will find the benefit from a number of things that are thought of as most basic human needs that God provides for us as our Heavenly Father. Here's three. The first one is short and long-term security. We need to know that we have a secure future, short and long-term. Christy talked about that. God is going to take care of us because we're His kids. We're all familiar with how vulnerable a baby or a child is. My first family was not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. And it was only later, as an adult, that I caught up to how difficult it was during my earliest of years. But as a child, I was always confident and never doubted my parents would provide. And over those years, there was a lot that perhaps threatened our family, but as a child, I never questioned or doubted my parents' ability to provide security for me short and long term. I was dependent upon my parents because of my childlikeness. And that would be the same, friends, in our walk with God. Our learned dependence upon God allows us to benefit from the knowing and the experiencing of long and short-term security. Secondly, in the area of significance, personal significance. Being a child means, for better or for worse, our actions reflect on the family name, the family of God. Remembering that we are beloved children of God can inspire our hearts to bring honor to the name of the Father whose household I am a part of. So as a child of God, I have a place of belonging within the family of God. Positionally and relationally and experientially. This is not a religious duty or an onerous burden, rather a genuine desire for our lives to beautify the reputation of the Father whose loved child I am. As a child of God, we have a place to belong and a place of service that leads to significance. One of the gifts of being a child is the ability to live in the moment, live day to day. Children get up every day and ask the question, hey, mom and dad, what are we doing today? And as the summer holidays begin this week, moms and dads, you're going to hear that question multiple times a day. Hey, what are we doing today? Kids live in the moment. I recently heard of a family at Living Waters who are taking their kids south. Big surprise to their kids. They're going to drive their kids right up to Disneyland and say, guess where we're spending the next 3 days? Kids live in the moment, completely dependent upon their parents to create the narrative. And to be friends, it's the same with our and a trusted relationship with our Heavenly Father. Oh, the joy of getting up every day and saying, Father in heaven, I seek to find my significance and my serve according to your will for my life today. What are we doing today, Heavenly Father? Life of a child, dependent upon their Heavenly Father. I think we need to get a bit more content and confident in our relationship with our Heavenly Father as we get up day in and day out asking God, what do you have on your mind for my life? And thirdly, belonging. social belonging. We are adopted into a new redemptive family, new relationships that are divinely appointed by God for our time on earth that we will share for all eternity. We need to pay attention to being rooted in community. These relationships that God has ordained and brought us into are of utmost importance for us and to us. We are born of God, and therefore His Spirit dwells within us, increasing our capacity to maintain long-term relationships. And Living Water's value of community highlights this divine design we have to be in a place of belonging with others. So quickly, how do we stay on this path of belonging? Well, Ephesians 5 gives us direction. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How do we stay on this path of belonging? It's a great question. How do we stay on this path and find the contentment required to stay on the path? Well, very simply, Paul says, by walking continually in the way of love. It's on this path that we will be confirmed. It will be confirmed over and over again who we are and whose we are and where we belong in God's narrative for our lives. Our belonging is defined and discovered along this path that God has laid for us. We walk on this path on earth, this path of love, all the way to heaven, where we will belong for all eternity. Walk in the way of love. This is not the first time Paul has used the illustration of walking. In 1 chapter 2, verse 10, he says that we are now to walk in the good deeds which God prepared before us beforehand for us. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says that we should walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called. Chapter 4, 17, Paul says that we should not walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their mind. Chapter 5, verse 8, that we must walk as children of the light. In chapter 5, verse 15, we must walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise. So in closing, I want you to discover the joy of being a child of God. That's who you are. And because of who you are, that's whose you are. You're your father's. That's where you belong, amongst a relationship with him and amongst his family that he's gathering on earth for all eternity. Perhaps today you feel very far away from God. Let me just remind you, it's not a long ways back. If even as I close in prayer today, you are able to say, God, I return. I long for you. I turn towards you. You will find, just like Christy did, that there is a loving Heavenly Father waiting to embrace you. So why walk away from that? Let's walk towards that today and tomorrow and the next day and know all the beautiful benefits of living out the role of being a child, specifically a child of God. Let's pray. God, today, we thank you for the invitation of Scripture to become and continue to be children of God. We thank you that you love us deeply. We thank you that you love us unconditionally. We thank you that we don't have to prove ourselves in your presence. We just simply need to come, and we do today. We turn our full hearts towards you, knowing that you have turned your full heart towards us. You bid us to come. You bid us to stay. You bid us to walk with you all the days of our life towards a glorious eternity that you have prepared for us. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.